Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A few years ago, I was visiting a museum in Paris. And this museum has all of the artifacts of the very long history of France with regard to their military campaigns. And one of the things that they had was a great collection of the cannons that were used by the French kings before the French Revolution. And I noticed that on each cannon, they were cast in bronze. On each cannon, there was the inscription, Ultima Ratio Regum, which means the final argument of kings. That is to say that where words have failed, the cannon will succeed. And so we look today at our Lord's resurrection, and he is a king, as he told Pilate. And this is our Lord's ultima ratio, his final argument. Because his resurrection from the dead means that he is God. Therefore, anything that was ever said against him or ever will be said against him is false. Everything that the Pharisees said was false. Every accusation, false. Because he has risen from the dead. There is nothing more to say, nothing more to point out. And this he did even though during his public life he spoke beautiful divine words that only God could think up. And he raised people from the dead in the sight of many people. And he healed the sick, gave sight to the blind so many times. St. John says that the books, that the world could not hold the books if one were to write about everything that our Lord said and did. And despite that, on Good Friday, the very people that had been anointed in the Old Testament to receive him, and indeed to cry out their hosannas as they did last Sunday, and with that faith to go out to the whole world and preach the Holy Gospel. Nonetheless, on Good Friday, after many proofs, they cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Take him away! We have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." But today we have the final argument. Resurrection from the dead. Therefore, anything outside of Christ is darkness and illegitimate. Anything that claims to be his church, which is not in fact his church, the Catholic Church, is false, illegitimate, without foundation. And because he has risen from the dead, it is the natural inclination of the human race to want to be with him, to want to be attached to him. For do we not all want to one day get up from the ashes of the grave and have our bodies once again, not in the decrepit state of old age, but in the prime of their youth, forever and ever? Is this not the greatest single gift that the Savior could give to us, that our bodies follow the divine and supernatural life that He has given to our souls in the state of sanctifying grace? Is this not the great restoration of the original creation of Adam and Eve in supernatural perfection, both of soul and of body? And so we want to be with Him. The first way that we are with the Creator, the Savior, is by truth. There is no holiness without truth. You cannot be like God unless you adhere to the truth. St. Pius X, just about 100 years ago, in a speech to the cardinals, said, "It is a monstrous error to say that there can be a charity without faith." That is to say, that it is a monstrous error to say that we can in some way please God or be holy, be like God, if we do not profess the truth of God. Charity without faith. And even though he called that a monstrous error, nonetheless, this error, that truth makes no difference about the goodness of your soul, that it makes no difference whether you are a Catholic or a Buddhist or a Protestant, you can be holy no matter what, is the prevalent error of our age. And it is monstrous. For it has stripped from the Savior what he said to Pilate in the ultimate moment of his public life. "For this came I into the world, to witness unto the truth, and those who are of the truth hear my voice." The second way by which we are attached to the risen Savior who will inject life in us is by virtue, by obedience to the law of God. It is not enough to take a palm and say Hosanna. It is not enough to say the Alleluias of Easter Sunday, but rather every single day, every minute of the day, you must prove to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that you love Him more than any created thing, that you love Him more than your pleasures, that you love Him more than your material things, that you love Him more than your relatives and friends, that the law of God prevails in every decision you make. That must be done every minute of the day. The future life must be merited. It does not come free. It must be merited. And that merit is accomplished by the good works of virtue. And so you run a race, and the time clock is now ticking, and you're being watched by God on how much you love Him. But this virtue is impossible to attain unless we become, like the Savior, crucified. Why must we be crucified? Because of original sin and our daily tendency to sin. And so on Good Friday, if you notice, the altar boys took a purple rug and they put it all the way down the aisle here. And on this purple rug, you came up and again bowed down on both knees and bowed your head before a crucifix, an image of the Savior himself crucified. And then, having done that three times, you kissed the feet of the Savior as if you were on Calvary itself, kissing his bloody feet. Why do you do that? To tell our Lord Jesus Christ that you understand that you must pick up your cross every day and follow him. That you must be crucified with him. That the old man of sin, as St. Paul says, must be crucified. And that is why the color of the rug is purple, because that is the royal road. That is the road that is stained with the blood of the King. And behind our Lord Jesus Christ crucified come all of those bearing their crosses, falling from time to time until they make it to the final glory of heaven. And while you are doing that, the choir is singing, "Hail, O cross, our only hope." Not merely "Hail, O cross," as if it is some distant thing that we no longer need to think about, but our only hope. Not merely our hope, our only hope, the only way in which we can merit to be called by the trumpet of the angel unto a life of eternal glory in resurrection. That is our hope. And so the resurrection today is the basis of our faith, the proof of the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our hope of future life and future resurrection, and it is the motivation of our daily life of virtue, so that we can have that prize. It is the ultimate argument of Christ the King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.